Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, where we share spiritual and practical ideas for how to live family life well with a beautiful, self-sacrificing love. Today, we have a special guest, Dr. Bob Schutz. Dr. Bob is the founder of the John Paul II Healing Center and author of the best-selling book, Be Healed, Encountering the Powerful Love of Jesus in Your Life. Bob will be discussing antidotes to resentment and solutions for healing. Bob, thank you so much for joining us today.
Mary Grace, good to be with you. Thank you for all that you do.
So we are focusing this month on healing and on forgiveness as a whole. Can you please share a bit about your background and what inspired you to devote your time and mission to helping people through the John Paul II Healing Center?
Yeah, it was kind of three things I think are important in that. One is I was a marriage and family therapist and a teacher of marriage and family for maybe 40 years. I was also married for 42 years before my wife passed away about 6 years ago. And also grew up in a family where marriage was very important. And then my parents divorced. And so it was, I got to experience both sides of that, I think, which created a passion for me for this field and for healing both within my own marriage, but also for other couples. So that influence led me to really desire to reach more people with what I was experiencing. I was just seeing Jesus bring healing to so many miraculous situations with married couples who had been divorced or were in really bad situations, and just seeing the restoration and realizing that the whole church, the whole world needs this.
So as we kind of get into kind of the hard parts, this is healing and forgiveness and resentment. It's very relevant and very much alive, and especially in couples. In your experience, what aspects of married life tend to give rise to those resentments, and how can couples navigate those challenges?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, when we get married, we have kind of a Pollyannish view, if you will, of what marriage is like. Mm-hmm. And then we marry real people. Mm-hmm. And real people have, real people on this side of the fall have sin. Real people have wounds that they bring in from previous family and other relationships. And we all have a fundamental selfishness. And I think the combination of all three of those things makes it almost inevitable that we're going to be disappointed and hurt in different ways. Not that marriage isn't beautiful, it is, but that we're going to have experiences of being hurt and disappointed. And resentment is easy to develop. And so if we don't know how to forgive, it's going to really erode at the whole fabric of the intimacy and trust in the relationship.
Kind of going along with that, how would you say that would you say forgiveness is something that is, you know, you do it once and it gets easier, or would you say it's kind of a constant? How would you describe forgiveness as, like, you know, to practice it well in your marriage?
Well, let me share from my own experience in marriage. And I didn't realize that I had unforgiveness towards other people when I got married. And so it wasn't a practiced muscle. I mean, I was generally a merciful person, but it wasn't a practiced muscle where I consciously forgave for things that had happened. And so when I got into marriage and I was practicing my faith, but not applying it in this way, I found myself developing resentment in my marriage and towards my wife for different things, different hurts. And I think she developed for me. And so we got to a place in the relationship where it really created a level of crisis because of ignoring those areas or trying to just go on and not really deal with them and resolve them. And it was only after a deeper spiritual conversion that I realized how central the forgiveness was and how my heart had gotten hardened from both childhood wounds and from things that had happened in our marriage. And I saw it in my counseling. I saw it in my teaching that this was true. It's probably the most important thing besides a relationship with God in a relationship is keeping our hearts open and not letting resentments build up and being able to forgive on a regular basis. So, no, it's not a one-time forgiveness. Sometimes we have to forgive some pretty big things, but sometimes it's the daily things that are most important that we forgive. I can share with you a story of many couples who dealt with really severe brokenness in the relationship, and it took them a while to get to a place of forgiveness, but how beautiful it was and how healing it was as I would watch couples just restore from years of broken relationship or distant relationship just through forgiveness and then restoring trust from that.
It's so powerful and so good that, you know, you're doing that work for these couples, because I think you had mentioned having wounds from before the marriage. And I think sometimes I kind of fall into this too. Like, you don't think about those necessarily before until you get into being in a relationship with someone else. And so how would you recommend maybe going about discussing those, you know, those wounds with your spouse or with, you know, the person that you're pursuing a relationship with? And how would you help them? Because they might also need to learn that about you so that it's easier for them to forgive you or vice versa.
Yeah, I think humility is a key part of that. It's the humility of when we recognize, and sometimes we don't recognize, but when we recognize we hurt each other, that we can apologize, but apologize in such a way that really tends to their heart, you know, that is really looking for how they've been hurt, and really hearing the pain that's been caused there. And oftentimes it's the pain is an echo of earlier pain, you know, earlier hurts, either from a boyfriend or a girlfriend or from parents or from siblings or from peers. And so it's not always that we're the first one causing the hurt, but oftentimes those areas of hurt are real sensitive and they get touched easily. So for example, in my own life, my older brother had been addicted to drugs and alcohol. And my dad was alcoholic when my parents divorced. And so alcohol was a trigger for me. And so when I would see someone close to me drink, it would create fear. It would create hurt. And then when we don't deal with that, it can come out as resentment. And so then you begin to close your heart off little bit by little bit. So those kind of things can build up. And for me, it was learning how to forgive on a regular basis when those things came up. And, you know, scripture says, don't go to bed angry, you know, and give the devil a foothold. And I really find that to be true, that then when we allow anger to be unresolved, we really give room for the enemy of our souls to come and set up fortresses, you know, barriers around our heart and lies about and distortions about the other person. And so we really need to be really careful in our marriage relationships to keep that every day, that open, forgiving heart, blessing people, being forgiving. Not that we can't address issues, but how we address them. If we have resentment, we usually address them with criticism and contempt, and that becomes destructive. But if we have a tender heart and compassionate heart towards somebody, we can even address the hurts with appropriate emotion, but in a way that's kind rather than cutting or critical or demeaning to the other person.
In discussing, you had mentioned, you know, sometimes it builds up and that's where you get the resentment from. How do you recommend someone, like, what would you suggest for someone who struggles with forgiveness? Like, it's not something that comes to them easily, and like you, and where do they begin, I guess, in that sense?
Yeah. And our conferences and a lot of our books, the books we've written, and go through a process of forgiveness. And so I think it's really important. So many times we think somebody says, forgive me, and we say, I forgive you, and we don't deal with the issue underneath it. And so I think the first step is us with God and that we can, in a safe way, just begin. You know, one of the exercises we do in our conferences is envisioning the person in front of you that's hurt you, and allowing yourself just to feel whatever you feel, whether it's fear or anger or sorrow or hurt or whatever that is. And then in your imagination, is before you have any interaction with the person, in your imagination, in the presence of God, you just begin to express, I feel angry. I feel really hurt. You did this to me. What you did hurt me. I felt ridiculed. I felt not seen, not heard, whatever that might be. I felt betrayed. And just the freedom to be able to express it in a safe way, without the other person's reaction. And then recognizing how we've internalized that hurt, how we've taken that in to our own identity. Like, I feel unloved. I feel uncared about. I feel like less than in your eyes, or I feel not cared for, or not considered, or feel betrayed, whatever that might be. And then bring that into prayer, asking God to speak the truth of who we are in those places. And then facing the judgments we've made towards the other person. Almost always when there's unforgiveness, we hold on to these judgments made out of pride. Rather than judgments of the truth, it's judgments made out of pride. And to be able to acknowledge those and release those and bless the person who's hurt us, and then bring that person to the cross, you know, that we can both stand as sinners before the cross and asking Jesus to forgive me for my judgments, for my resentments, but then forgiving the person for how they've hurt me. And I think when we do that, our hearts are open again to be able to address the issues with the people that hurt us. But if we just react in the hurt, we're going to say all kind of hurtful things or withdraw, or, you know, even our facial expressions will communicate, and it's just going to create this cycle of hurt that doesn't work.
Yeah. Wow. That's a beautiful method of going about it. Cause yeah, it's first to our Lord, and then using, that's really beautiful.
And sometimes we need to go to confession ourselves before we address these.
Yes. Always good to get those graces. So you talked about the kind of the how you would go about starting that process of forgiveness. Are there any kind of specific strategies or exercises that married couples can incorporate like every day to, like, instead of waiting until they are disappointed or get resentful, like actively kind of counteracting those resentments?
Yeah, I think if couples can, first of all, pray together daily. It's hard to hold resentments when you're praying together. And if a couple's open to that, praying together is really a very helpful thing. Secondly is, you know, one of the things when we do our marriage conferences, our unveiled marriage conferences, is we have it's also in the book, Be Devoted. We have this kind of a checklist that a couple can go through, whether it's daily or whether it's weekly. And it's just looking at, how's our communication? How are we doing with forgiveness? How is it doing with hurt? And so it's just checking in with each other. And we can usually feel it when our spouse is pulled back a little bit. And at first they may say, well, I just had a rough day, but we know that something else is going on. And you say, okay, can you share with me, what are you feeling? And to create a safe environment for them to share that. And I can't emphasize that enough, because if we're going to judge them for what they share with us, they're not going to share. Or if we're going to feel judged for what we share, we're not going to share. And so it's just really creating that attitude of love and safety for each other so that we can share. You know, when you said this earlier, and I know you didn't mean it this way, or I trust you didn't mean it this way, but I felt really hurt when you expressed that the way you did it. You know, your voice sounded sharp, and it felt, just the look in your eyes looked angry and hurtful. And the person may get defensive and say, okay, I understand that you weren't intending to hurt me. Or maybe you were. But if you were, please tell me what was bothering you.
Yeah, taking it kind of from a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, in the sense that's a very forgiving approach.
I've heard people say a charitable assumption. We start with a charitable assumption for the other person.
I love that. That's great. I'm gonna use that one now instead of the benefit of the doubt. How can couples draw strength from like the sacrament of marriage in moments of challenge and then in healing in their marriage?
Yeah, the sacrament of marriage was really important, recognizing the promises we made to each other, first of all, on the day that we were married. And, you know, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, until death do us part. But there's a sense of, I'm here for the long haul so that we can afford to walk into these things because I'm in it for life. And that should provide both of us a level of security. But more than that, the reality of what happened in the sacrament is, you know, we became one in some mysterious way. We're no longer only two individual separate people. We remain that, but we become something that God created that's oneness, that's permanent, you know, that what God has joined together, let no man separate. And it's His Spirit, His strength, His presence that has joined us together. And St. Paul says, you know, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies, your own self. And to really recognize that, many times in marriage, I would have a hurt or resentment and feel like Margie was the enemy, and recognize, you know, that sense of when we got married, we were the one, you know, to love her is to love myself, to not love her is to hurt myself. And, you know, and not only ourselves, but our children and the people around us, that we have a unity in the Spirit, a bond of peace. And so we need to really treat each other that way and honor each other that way. And that God is the strength of that, you know, that when we turn to Him, He's made a promise with us to be with us in the middle of that, in that sacrament. And so we can always turn to Him for help.
That's beautiful. And I think, you know, we forget you get married and you get all the real life stuff happening. And then sometimes it's easy to forget, but it's always beautiful to have that reminder. And so kind of going into, you had mentioned children and, you know, even working with them. So how can parents, obviously by example, they can foster and express like how to forgive, but how can parents address maybe resentments that their children have towards them, or how they can help them see like forgiveness through, even through their children's resentments?
Yeah. Start with a story from my own life first, and then I can remember as a child, if my dad would raise his temper and get upset, and I would be hurt and go into my room, and maybe even it was a discipline, but the way that the discipline was communicated was harshly. Almost always, he would come in afterwards, sit down on the bed with me, and be compassionate and say, "I'm sorry that I hurt you," and then just listen. Wow. You know, can you share with me what you're feeling? And that was such a gift to me, because I, even when my parents' marriage fell apart and my dad did things that were very hurtful, I didn't develop resentment towards him. I knew his kindness from those experiences, and it was certainly hurtful, but it created something. So I think, kind of as a principle for parents, to be aware of their children. You know, first of all, how do we speak to our children? How do we treat our children? And recognize that if we're trying to control them, or if we're trying to get them to be a certain way for us, we're missing their hearts. And so it's that first of all, sensitivity to our children. And we all, again, we're all have weaknesses, we all fail in these areas, but just that sensitivity. And when we've hurt them, to be able to go to them and say, you know, "I'm sorry I said that," or "I'm sorry I did that," just in that humility. And then when we see the child expressing resentment, say, "Okay, I can hear, please respect me in the way that you talk to me. Don't disrespect me, but I want to hear why you're angry. Please share with me what you're angry about." And then to honestly address it. And if it's a pattern in in the parent's life that the parent addresses it. You know, maybe they're seeing conflict between their parents, and they resent that. They resent the way we're treating each other, or we're resenting the way that we're favoring one child, it seems to them, over another, or there's something they wanted at the grocery store and we didn't give it to them, you know, or something, you know, could be big or little, but it's just the sensitivity to a child's heart. And so it's not giving them everything they want, but it's caring for their heart. And every day as parents, we need to be attentive to our children's heart the best we can. And that's not easy. You know, we get caught up in all the responsibilities of life, and it's not easy. But also modeling it, and for children to see parents reconciling, and then for parents to teach their children to reconcile with their siblings, and not to force them and say, "Go say you're sorry," but to say, "Can you recognize that you hurt your sister, you hurt your brother, and you know, when you're ready, I just want to encourage you to apologize to them, and know that you're sorry." And to the sibling, "I know you've got hurt, and can you forgive, when you're ready, can you forgive your brother or sister?"
I you reminded me of kind of growing up too with just my parents, and they were, you know, they really did show, like, I think that humility that you mentioned is very powerful for a child to see their parents coming to them and saying, "I'm sorry." It's very powerful. Very powerful. Kind of finishing up with children and talking, are there any specific things, like you had mentioned, showing your parents, the parents, being, you know, the examples and showing what it looks like. And then, so are there any other specific things that parents can provide for their children to help them in seeking forgiveness, but also in building that kind of that muscle for forgiveness?
Yeah. One of the things that I've did with my children when they were older, and my children have done with their children, is praying for them in the middle of their hurts, and not just praying for them, but praying with them. And so they will sit down and they'll be hurt and say, "Okay, can we just talk about this for a minute and just tell me what your hurt is?" And say, "Can we just ask Jesus to be with you here in this? And what does he want you to know?" And children receive so quickly, can hear his voice so clearly, and can receive so quickly. And when I've seen that happen, it's like they go from not being able to forgive to be able to forgive, or being really hurt and feeling down to feeling loved and feeling restored. So I think it's a beautiful thing parents can do. Just doesn't take long. Just, "Okay, tell me what's the hurt? What hurt? Mm-hmm. And can we just ask Jesus what he wants you to know?"
Well, and it also helps them to stay in tune with what our Lord, like what Jesus is asking of them. And that's right. That's really awesome. Yeah. Are there any final thoughts or advice for couples or for families that you'd like to share?
Well, one is the catechism, and it's coming from the Our Father, the teaching on the Our Father. And it says that our hearts are indivisible. We can't ask God for mercy and then hold a resentment towards another person, that our hearts block love both ways. We cut off our relationship with God as well as with each other. And so forgiveness is the way to keep open it to love. And we all desire love. And when we close off to love, it causes us to suffer and all the other people around us to suffer. And so it's really essential, and it's not easy, but it's essential.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, Bob. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2024, we want to reach as many people as possible. You can help by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrisloveshrine.org. We will also include in the show notes your website and your book. And thank you so much, Dr. Bob Schutz, for joining us today.
Thank you, Mary Grace. God bless you and all the couples.